I'll be reading the New Testament lesson, Philippians 3, 4 through 14. Even though I, too, have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as lost because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Friends, let us pray together. Lord, we have heard for a month now about the steps to get on the high road. And then, oh God, we come to this place to know that now that we are on, we do press on. And we know, God, that you equip and you call and you set free and you are the one who empowers us. And we thank you, it's by your mighty right hand. God, we heard these words that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit through your servant Paul. May they be applied to our heart today, and may we be use the access that you have given us by the Holy Spirit to let this be rhema words so that we can live in such a place of empowerment this day. Because we know it's not by might nor by spirit, but nor by strength, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. And we thank you and praise you. Unleash your word on us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the gospel lesson talks about these parables about this grabbing a hold of access to ownership. And in the Gospel of Matthew, there is this landowner that puts people in charge, and they misuse God's property to the point, in fact, that when it comes time for harvest, the landowner sends people out that way, and they see from a distance and sees these people rape, beat, and murder. And there's a series to where this continues to finally the landowner says, well, you know, all these horrible things have happened to people that I've sent forth to caretake and to get back and owe what is mine. And I'm going to send my own heir, my son. And so they see from a distance and say, look, there's the heir to the property. Let's go ahead and eliminate this problem. Therefore, we can lay seize and have total ownership. Well, you know, Jesus says, what do you think happened to those wicked tenants? And, of course, the apostles and the listeners all came to an agreement that there was justice served and then that people were placed in a right place of using their hands properly. And so it goes back to this thinking that I have about hands-on ministry. And so, you know, kind of unpacking a little bit more of this, Paul says, I grab a hold of the high calling. It means that there's an attachment. There is a tangible thing that we must possess. There is something that we must hold on to that's more precious than life because it is life itself. It says that we cling to the cross. It even says if we lift up with the cross, it'll draw all people to Him. And so it is really tangible in an elementary way to use these hands and let the works of our hands provide the glories of God through the willingness of us to serve this morning. And so I think about Paul really saying that it's a calling, it's a pressing on, it's a never give up mentality. And there's so many people today that give up at the 11th hour and just quit or run out of gas. And God's saying, I have not given you that spirit of brokenness. I've given you spirit and power to know that when you're in my hands. It even says in Isaiah that I'm the one who carved you into my hand, that I'm mindful of your abilities and your inabilities. I'm mindful of what you have capabilities of doing. And Paul goes on to say that, you know, with Christ we can do all things. So it's simply that we come empty-handed. You know, this might be a very elementary illustration to you, especially now that we have screens and PowerPoints and so much visual stimulation, whether it is a PS4 or it's some kind of HD DMI TV or whatever, all kinds of visuals that just, woo, really keep us overstimulated. And it says it actually causes mental problems if we overstimulate ourselves with all of the access to visibilities this day. But anyway, when I was a child, I would say about probably between the area of 5, 6 or something, I remember somebody taking some construction paper, and I haven't forgotten this image, but they did a series of folds, and then they broke out the scissors and they did a series of angles and cut, and the next thing you know, they pull it together and there's paper dolls. And I was so surprised by this just blank sheet of paper that had been transformed into a link of people holding hands together. And I've never lost that image of what it looks like when we're connected. And you know, I even thought about one time I watched a movie or something that there was these people that were looking search and rescue, and they thought that there was this missing person, and they kind of had boiled it down to maybe in this one area. So they walked across this field and through this swampy area, and they were linked hand in hand together to search and to seek that which was lost. And so when there was this linking together of holding hands, they were able to find that which was lost. And so it is a visual for me today to tell you and to share with you how important it is for us to be linked. And that's what Holy Communion and World Communion is about, is to know that we're celebrating with Africans and Indians and Scandinavians. We're celebrating with Mediterraneans, and we're celebrating with Australians, New Zealand's, Finland's, Denmark, Iceland, Greenland. We're celebrating with Canadians. Can you believe that? And also just a whole genre and litany of nationalities. We're celebrating around the Lord's table, linked hands together. And you know what's also amazing? When we think about the eternal perspectives of our identity in Christianity, we're celebrating holding hands with a great cloud of witnesses today. We never die, friends. We never die. We are moved from glory to glory in Christ Jesus by the linking, by the stretching forth of hands. I mean, so much ministry is hands-on, amen? Jesus said, you know, stretch forth your hand. The hand touched His garment. The hand reached out when they were sinking and worried that they were going to be completely taken over by the storm. The hand also allowed Moses to pick up the cane that turned into a snake and vice versa. The hand also stretched forth across the land. The hand also spoke with the word over dry bones. The hands are so instrumental. You know, I couldn't have gotten dressed this morning without hands. It would have been kind of silly to try to do this without my hands. We need the hands. And you know, the hands are so powerful. We talk about the hands holding a sword, and we see these visualizations of the shield. Do you know there's fiery darts fired at us all the time? I tell you what, I've been a Christian for, you know, December 30th, 1998 at, you know, 12:38 a.m. or whatever. But really and truly, I mean, I've been under spiritual attack and warfare on occasion throughout my Christian walk and journey, but I have never been under so much spiritual attack this past year. God wants to do great things hands-on in this church, and the targets are after the leader, but I have the hand to hold the shield and a hand to wave the sword and say, get behind me, Satan, in the authority and the power of Jesus Christ, I thwart you and cancel every wicked work of the enemy. See, we have to know the Scripture. You know, it's an oxymoron is to say a nominal Christian. But there's many Christians today that don't understand or are clueless about spiritual warfare. They'll talk all day long about the love of Jesus and hunky-dory, walking down the road and path and following Jesus. And that's true and that's good and that's real. But that's not the full picture. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places. And our hands are used for the pulling down of strongholds. And the only way we can do that is when we hold the sword, the Word of God, and can declare it with our lips and use our hands to speak back against forces and enemies and wickedness. God wants us to use those mightily as an arsenal to bring glory and honor to His name. And we have to do that. You know, the hands are what clothes us and dresses us when we put on the breastplate of righteousness. I can see spiritually that we lay our hands to keep us from any of those attacks that are swung our way, that we pick up that shield, that we put on our helmet, that we tie the laces of our shoes of the gospel, and that we also pick up that sword and swing back. We got to quit being timid in the house of God, and we've got to be forceful and courageous about the Word of God in the land. To proclaim Jesus loves you even if you don't believe it. Hands on ministry. That's what it's about, to take the gospel to the world hands on. Hands to pray. I'm telling you what, I studied prayer exclusively for 2 years. And you know what? We can study it, we can talk about it, we can go to conferences, we can do note-taking, we can even listen to CDs and iPods, and we can hear about all kinds of other people's experiences from St. Jerome all the way to Bill Hybel. But when are we going to get on our knees and pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done"? Seriously, it's just that simple. Childlike faith. Sweet, precious Morgan has the Spirit of God to be an alkalite. Childlike faith. Hands-on to apply it. As the old-timey preachers used to say, "God says it, therefore I believe it. Go with it." Hands-on to pray. The prayer of the faithful. To pray the will of God. Hands-on faith. Hands-on to possess, to grab a hold of the plow. Don't look back and turn into a pillar of salt, but to say, "God, with your strength, I won't let go." Hands-on to possess that which God has given us. See, God has told us there is a promised land. And it's not somewhere over there in another land. It is the preferred future that He wants us to live into. There's a preferred future where He wants us to be free and to be liberated. He wants us to be blessed from the head and not the tail. He wants us to walk in courage. He wants us not to be bound up by the forces of the enemy. He wants us not to carry the spirit of fear. He wants us to eliminate doubt in our life. He wants us to run away from insecurity and inferiority. He wants us to breathe again the breath of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be in that place of a reward, to have that blessing, and to allow that life to flourish in us. He wants us so desperately to possess His promises. Remember what He said? He said, "I'm not the God of the dead." He even had debate, and He said, "Therefore, God said, I am the God of the father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He said that those in that essence are living and eternal. And He has given a promise. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We are the seed of Abraham. We are the spiritual seed that will inhabit the land. We are the ones that have been given the commission to go out into the highways and the byways. We are the ones that God is counting on to share His gospel and make His name known. We are those people today. Don't look anywhere else around and say, "Well, maybe the Presbyterians will do it, or maybe the Episcopalians will do it, or hopefully the Pentecostals will get out there." No, He's looking at people that hunger and thirst for righteousness, and those people will be filled. I don't know about you, but I don't want a normal, casual, dormant life.
I want a life of supernatural abundance. I want to be blessed and favored. I want to walk in the goodness of the Lord. That has nothing to do with trials and tribulations and hardships and bankruptcy. That has everything to do with the joy of the Lord is our strength. That way, when you have the joy of the Lord, it doesn't matter if all of a sudden your spouse walks out on you. It doesn't matter if all of a sudden you didn't get a raise this year. It matters not. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Because we know to whom we belong and we know where we are going. And we are on the highway, the high road, the King's road. And that's hands-on for the equipping of the saints. The Bible says that we are to take these hands and to stir up the gifts within you. There's so many places where the hands looked across the land and said, God, you know, can dry bones live? Hands that have parted seas. Hands that blessed, that were empty, provided manna from heaven, quail, bread, fish, loaves, eyesight, joy. What is it that you want? Stretch forth your hand, says the Master. Join that great cloud of witnesses. Come around the banquet table where even the dogs eat the crumbs. You know, we're going to have communion in just a minute. Holy Eucharist. And I guarantee you there's going to be bits and pieces on the ground that fall. And you know what? Oftentimes in preaching, it's grandiose. It's big, right? I'll never do that. That preacher is so excitable. Go team, go team. Woo! Go Jesus. You know, that's my man. God, that guy can preach. How can I live out what he says? You know what? Get on the ground and start picking up crumbs. It's just that easy. It's just that easy. Use those hands to do those things God's given you the ability to do. Nothing more, nothing less. But woe unto you if you deny and walk out of this church empty-handed once again when God's saying, stretch forth your hand and receive the blessing. That's good stuff this morning. Give God praise. Amen. We're going to sing a portion of our liturgy this morning.